time and energy are our most valuable resources. But success isn't just about what we do with our time. It's very much about how much of ourselves we bring to the time we have and how we feel about our choices. Welcome to Take Charge of Your Productivity with your host, Penny Zenker. We're here to bring you a whole new perspective on how to manage your precious time and energy. You'll gain key strategies, skills, and the necessary psychology that create the balance you are craving and deserve. Now, here is Penny Zenker.
Everyone, it's Penny Zenker, your host of Take Charge of Your Productivity. On this show, we host great authors, leaders, and entrepreneurs to explore your greatest potential by tapping into the 10 core drivers of time and energy management. So many of you know that my platform focuses on not just what we do with our time, but how much of ourselves we bring to that time, how we manage our energy. So to simplify these 10 core drivers, I came up with a windmill as a metaphor for human productivity. A windmill converts the energy of the wind and focuses it then into the rotational energy, right, which is then creating that momentum and that leverage from the blades for exponential effect on the energy that's produced. So this windmill, right, it has a gear mechanism that works from within. The smoother, the more consistent, and the faster that the blades turn, the more productive that you tend to be. So in taking charge of your productivity, there are actually three blades or segments, right, that are absolutely critical. And they are championship psychology, winning strategies, and sustainable results. And without all three of these, your productivity windmill is underpowered. It's going to turn, but not optimally. So to start today's show, you know, it's about making an impact. I don't know, what did you want to be when you grew up? I know some of us aren't even grown up yet, so but we'll leave that. And who wants to grow up? But, you know, I've always wanted to make a big impact. And I'll bet that you did too. I always thought, you know, I was going to write a book or a movie or something that was going to motivate or inspire people to be their best and overcome obstacles. That was just what I had in my heart. And how this would materialize for me was really a puzzle. I really had no idea how that was going to come together in my life. And I'm really excited to say that in January, I did publish my first book, and I'm extremely excited about the impact that I'm able to grow from one-on-one to then multiple and many people. And so many people, when they're thinking about that impact that they want to make, they're not really sure what to do in some cases, or it might be on how to do it. And I just want to say it's funny. It's not until I met our guest for today's show, Wendy Lipton Dibner, that I really thought about the real emotional connection that I have to that impact. So I just want you to think for a moment, what moves you? When you tap into what moves you most, you can't sit still. You're driven. You can move mountains, and you know this to be true. So, you know, really understanding why are you doing what you're doing. Really think about it and think about what impact you want to make and what impact you could make. So today's guest, as I said, is Wendy Lipton Dibner. She's a four-time best-selling author and internationally recognized authority on business and personal development. She's a high-paid keynote speaker and sought-after media guest. Wendy has addressed the U.S. Senate. She's delivered thousands of business growth programs for Fortune 100, healthcare, small businesses, and nonprofit organizations, and she's touched millions of people around the globe through her live events, online courses, coaching programs, best-selling books, media appearances, and speaking engagements. She's president of Professional Impact, Inc., and founder of the Action Movement. Wendy serves as a trusted advisor an impact strategist for entrepreneurs, executives, doctors, and top influencers worldwide, helping them increase revenues exponentially by identifying and implementing the unique formulas that they need to make a measurable impact on the people that they serve. And you can join Wendy and her community of the difference makers at theactionmovement.com. So without further ado, I want to introduce Wendy. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited about this show and how much fun we're going to have.
Penny, I'm excited too, and I'm just honored and delighted to finally have a chance to connect with you. It's so much fun listening to you speak.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, we both have so much in our hearts that we want to give, and I think that, you know, I always say energy is everything, and we bring that across in what we do.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, tell me how I can help today.
Absolutely. Well, before I want to just highlight for the listeners, I forgot to do this, is, you know, what are the three things that they're going to learn from this show? And I know you're excited about this. So number one is they're going to learn the astounding results of the research study that revealed the reason difference makers fail and what you can do to make sure that it doesn't happen to you. And I know you're excited about bringing that content. Number two is the most powerful multi-million-dollar secret that you have discovered to help your clients get measurable results. And you did put a warning in there that this might go against everything that we've learned about business. So people are excited to hear what's that, right? And then number three is the proven path that you can make to reach millions and make millions and love your life along the way. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. That's a big set of objectives for today. Perhaps we can just start by, you know, how did you get to where you are today? Why are you driven to help others make an impact?
I love that question. I like most entrepreneurs, have had a journey that has had lots of different paths and turns and bumps in the road, and everything from having, you know, multi-million dollar years to bankruptcy to crying back up again. You know, we've all traveled different ways to get where we are. But the one thing that ran through every business, I've had 10 different businesses, all these different things that I've done in my life, was a desperate need to make some kind of impact on every life that I touched. And it was a constant reinvention of what that impact was until finally I realized that impact is the currency that we need to put out in the world. And when we do that, everything else comes with it. So it's all about, for me, it's about helping people identify and then really amplify the impact that they can make in the world and then to monetize it so they can keep going further.
I love that. You know why I love that is because I think a common theme that I've heard from really successful people is they understand that money is not the currency. And I love that you just said that impact is the currency. That's probably going to be my favorite quote from today because, you know, I just love that because when we focus on the impact, everything else will fall in place.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. In fact, my new book that's coming out this year is called Focus on Impact, and it's all about how do you take an existing business and amplify it by focusing on impact? And how do you take a startup that is just for the first time in your life saying, you know what, there's more that I can do in this world and I'm ready to do it, and turn that into the multi-million dollar adventure that you might want by focusing entirely on impact in every aspect of your business?
Well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So are you gonna? Can we get a few tips on that? You know, one of the things you said was, you know, that you have done a lot of research, and I know that you do a lot of studies that has brought you to a lot of your results. Maybe before we get into the details, I'd like people to understand, why do you do all that research?
That's a great question. It's really because I wanted to go to Broadway. So when I was in college, it's a long story, but I'll make it short. I wanted to be a music and theater major, and all I wanted to do was become Barbara Streisand. So I majored in music and theater, and it's what I loved more than anything. And in my sophomore year, my grandmother sat across the kitchen table from me and said, you know, Wendela, there is no future in theater, and you need to get a real job, and you need to have a real honest course of study, and you need to get focused and all this kind of stuff. So long story
short,
she
burst your bubble.
Yeah, you know, so I sort of changed direction. I never gave up the music and theater, but I added a second major of sociology, and I discovered that the only thing you can really do with sociology is get an advanced degree in sociology. So it went from there. But I ended up going to Duke University, which is all about research. And they turned me into a research snob. And I'm very proud of that snobbery. Thank you very much. So everything I've done has been always based on, you know, when you're trying to solve someone's pain, you've got to go to the source of the pain and figure out what's causing it. So since I'm in social pain, I'm in what are the things that keep you from having what you truly want, to have the arrogance to assume that I know what those things are and then give you the solution has never been my thing. I come to the source of the pain and I say, what's happening that's making this happen? And I use real, you know, research methodology because I had very strong mentors in that.
Right.
And every business has had a research component to it.
Right. And that is, it's so key because we do that all the time. I was in a previous large organization that I worked for, you know, we were talking about strategy for the business and where it was going, and we were making some assumptions. And I said, well, how do we know this? Right? How do we know this is what our clients want? And they're like, well, because we know. We've been working with them for years. And I said, when's the last time we asked them?
Right.
What a concept. Cricket, cricket. And what was so cool is we did, you know, the same thing, and it was actually a market research company. The funny thing is we weren't doing our own research, but we did. We went out and asked them, and it makes all the difference because we had some surprises. We found out that speed was more important than depth, and we always thought that depth was the depth of the data as opposed to the speed of the data. So that's why I wanted to highlight that question because I think it is it's critical that, you know, for the business owners who are listening, you know, whatever they do, they shouldn't do that with their own customers, right? They shouldn't go out and actually ask them what they want.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
There's ways to ask that are more effective than others, but at the end of the day, the only thing that you can do to really assure that your impact will turn into the kind of future that you want it to be is to make sure that the people you're serving want what you've got.
Yeah.
And that starts with research.
Absolutely. So is that one of the key, like, elements, or is that just, like, the beginning?
Research, for me, goes through everything that I do in my business, and so I encourage my clients to do it as well. But for me, every time I launch a new business, it starts with making sure that I am understanding what the pain is out there, what really is missing from keeping people getting what they want so that I can make sure I can give it to them. And obviously it's really biased based on I'm looking for answers to be able to serve with my toolbox, right? But at the end of the day, if they don't want what I've got, then the questions are going to show me that, and then I move into a different area. So, yeah, absolutely.
You can adapt it.
Top. Got to happen.
Okay. Great. So what other, maybe that's one thing that has got to happen. What are some of the common mistakes that people make in heading out in that world to make their impact?
All right. So let's address that from maybe a different place if it's okay with you, because there are a lot of mistakes. But at the end of the day, the research that I did on this was enormous, and that is probably where we should go because it was one of the promises that you gave everybody.
Absolutely.
So I was looking at, you know, I do a lot of speaking, right? I'm all over the world speaking. And one of the things that happened was I was pulled aside by a top influencer who was running the event that I had been invited to speak at. And he pulled me aside and he said, you know, there's really something wrong here. And he confided in me that less than 2% of the people who came to his programs ever actually implemented what he was giving them. And it was very sad to him. He just hated it, and he wanted to know, you know, what do we do? And I was in shock, Penny. I got to tell you, I mean, I think you know this story about me, but at the end of the day, because of research, I've kept track of everything I've done in all of my programs and in all of my businesses, and I was running at greater than 93% implementation. It was absurd to me that someone would have less than 2%. So that's really what launched this research study that I did, and it was a stealth study. Nobody knew I was doing it except my husband and my dog. And it, what what it was about was tracking down what's going on in these business seminars that people aren't succeeding and aren't implementing. And obviously, less than 2%, that means there were people who were implementing and succeeding, right?
Right.
Part of many weren't. So I did a concrete 18-month front-to-back study that I've actually kept going ever since. But the data I'm going to share with you is from that original 18 months. Just know that it's been continued ever since. But during those 18 months, I went on the road. I went to countless seminars. I downloaded emails and online courses and read all of these opt-ins. I mean, it was crazy, crazy. For 18 months, I completely immersed myself in the business information industry, spoke personally with over 3,000 people from over 50 different countries, discovered what their goals were. And I think the goals are so important, and we
yeah.
probably address those now because that's your audience, right? So
absolutely.
Everyone listening to your message wants to make something happen. They probably want to make some kind of difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They would love to have financial security. Does that fit for your people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that would fit to most people who are listening. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the entrepreneurial dream, right? To have the freedom
Absolutely.
To live as we choose. What was special about this group, and this is really important to understand, is that they would do what they do for free if they had the financial security to not have to think about it.
Right. Well, that makes sense, right? Because they're passionate about what they're doing.
Yes, exactly. And that's a very unique group of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
There are entrepreneurs out there who are in it because they love making money. They love building mountains. They love making money. That's why they're in the game. And that's not who we're talking about right now. So we need to make that very clear distinction.
Okay.
So of the people who were in this because they wanted to make a difference and get paid for that so that they could make a bigger difference and support their
mm-hmm.
families, there was a lot of distress, a lot of fear that they would never get their message heard. They had spent a lot of time and money in trying to make it happen, and they were terrified that they were going to run out of money, or some of them were afraid they would die before they ever finally made it happen. And so there was
right.
a lot of fear. The biggest fear was that they were going to lose the respect of their family and friends because they were spending all this time and money and not showing results.
Mm-hmm.
So 99.3% of the 3,000 people that I interviewed had been trying to grow their business for more than a year. They had invested between $1,000 and $300,000 in education to make that happen, but they hadn't made back more than $1,000.
Right.
And
wow.
This is really common. This is really common. In the 4 years since this original study started, the data have not changed. It's what I'm
right.
hearing. If anything, people are spending more. So there were
right.
a lot of
Right, so what's
of
happening?
Reasons. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons that we really don't have time to go through the whole thing, but here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
The training that they were receiving was being delivered from a traditional business mindset. And the problem doesn't work for people who are difference-driven. So the traditional business mindset is focus on money. Focus
right.
on ROI, focus on income, focus on revenues, watch the bottom line, never make any business decisions unless you're very clear on where the money is going to come from, where you're going to get your capital. It's all about the money. And the problem is that that doesn't work for people who are driven to make a difference in the world. They hear talk about money and they freak out. They just
right.
it's an internal thing.
Well, that's you know? True. You know, for a lot, I think there's a combination of people who are difference makers. There are some that are comfortable with money and making money, but you're right. There are some that they feel bad if they take money for what they do,
or they just don't see the value. But the point is
yeah.
that all of these people that I interviewed talked about the simple reality that they would
mm-hmm.
go to these programs, or they would buy these books or these DVDs or CDs, wherever they got the information. And there was so much talk about you know, I sent an email and made, you know, $5 million in 30 seconds kind of thing. And they would hear these announcements and
right.
it would make them cringe. And there was this mm-hmm. sort of ethical disconnect that they experienced between why they wanted to be in business and what these people were saying. So regardless of the fact that the strategies that were being offered were legitimate and strong, they couldn't mm-hmm. make themselves use it because they were terrified of becoming that kind of person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. It was against how they define themselves. Yes.
Exactly. I mean, the bottom line is difference makers are different. You know, mm-hmm. we still need the multi-million-dollar strategies and the fast-track tips and the plug-and-play formulas. And, I mean, we need the same business tools that businesses need. The problem is that we need them to happen in a way that doesn't compromise our ethics, that doesn't involve
yeah.
what we consider to be sleazy selling, right?
Absolutely.
The difference makers that I've interviewed over the course of 35 years doing this is that they are driven to make their difference, but they don't want to change who they are in the process. And their perception is that in order to be in business, it would mean changing who they are. And that
mm-hmm.
is a major roadblock for them.
Absolutely.
So that is the bottom line of the business, of the business research. That the bottom line is that traditional and even some of the most popular business models don't work for difference makers. They just don't work. And so what I had to do was come through with what do they need to know. And it was actually through the business conference that you and I met at that I was inspired to go ahead and share the impact strategy that I'd been using to help my clients for 30 years, but I'd never taught it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never taught it to anyone. It was a very strange experience. I'm sure you can relate to this. There's something that happened to me when I turned 50 that I just suddenly was no longer driven to keep all my business secrets a secret.
Right. Right.
You know, the first 30 years, it's like, okay, we're going to, you know, I have to keep everything close to our chest because we have to have our own business secrets and our own proprietary intellectual property, and we're not going to share it with anybody because it's the only way we're going to stand out and it's the only way we're going to differentiate.
Right. Those were the rules that that were in our heads at a certain period of our life, and then that shifts.
It does. It's like then it becomes about legacy. It becomes about, all right, so for the next 30 years of my career, how do I want that to go? You know, so then I shifted. And instead of bringing in clients and showing them how to make money and not telling them how I was doing it so they would always need me.
Right.
Right. I made my goal that my job is to put myself out of a job, to teach people
right.
so that they don't need me. It was a
Which
big
is
shift.
So much better, right? Teach them, what's the old adage? You know, you can teach people to,
teach man
you
to
can
fish
or,
for
them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can teach them the fish.
Yeah, so basically I started giving them the whole fish farm. And ever since then, it's been a beautiful life. You know, you talk about balance in your stuff. When you stop trying to hide all your secrets and you start sharing them with the world, there is a balance that you find that you've never been able to find. It's really extraordinary.
I agree. And so, you know, out of that comes, you know, productivity is really about collaborating and sharing and the balance that creates in giving.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a story I love to tell. In 1982, which goes back a few years, I was directing a research project for a university. It was a specific project. We had been hired by a hospital to evaluate whether their alcoholism treatment program was effective. And in the course of doing this research, it was a massive, massive study. We got the attention of the Senate because they were in the process of trying to figure out, is alcoholism in fact a disease? And if so, should it be reimbursable by insurance?
Mm-hmm.
And so this study was massive. And in the course of doing the study, I realized that there were questions that we weren't asking that we should be asking, but I didn't know enough about the medicine of this to be able to know what questions to ask. And so I sent letters to, those were the days when we actually had to use stamps, to physicians and researchers all over the world and invited them to come in for a summit where I would ask them questions. And these were really important, arrogant, so impressed with themselves kind of people. You know, and I was like, I don't know.
It's hard to deal with those people.
Yeah, you know. But they graced us with their presence, and they showed up, and for a day I invited them to really share their secrets for the purpose of collaborating to come up with some kind of answer, because even back then I have always believed that the impact we make together will be far greater than any impact any of us could ever make alone. And
right.
when I shared that with them, they looked at me like I was crazy because they were so low. You know, they were into it, but they were there. And they gave me the honor of letting them slap them around the room a few times until finally they did start to work together. And at the end of the day, we came up, they actually came up with a solution that there was no way any of us could have ever come up with alone. And the excitement, the energy in that room, it was unlike anything they had ever experienced. Because that's what happens when we come together. I mean, that's you and me on the show right now together, right? There's no way
Absolutely.
We could do this alone. It's beautiful.
It is. It is. Collaboration and coming together, bringing ideas and creating something even greater is I think it's what we're here to do. You know, the idea that we're all connected, well, we should behave like that too, right?
Well, it would be nice. The challenge is we're not taught to do that. And so the more that we can help people understand how to do that, I'm actually doing an event this summer that I've been working on since that day, because I was looking for what could I do that would recreate the magic of that day on a much bigger scale
mm-hmm.
with difference makers
mm-hmm.
all over the globe. And I'm actually doing that this summer, pulling people together to create what I call the Global Collaboration Project, which is all of these difference makers who are coming together in one room to create things together that they would have never been able to do alone. I'm very excited about it. So these are the kind of things that we can do together when we really focus on impact.
Absolutely. Well, let me, around that, as I started that little segment of discussion, we were talking, I said, you know, productivity is really in the collaboration. And one of the questions that I ask every single guest, and this seems to be an appropriate place to ask that, is, you know, and everybody gives different answers, and I love that. What is your definition of productivity and why?
For me, productivity is when I'm showing measurable results for the impact I put in the world. I measure my results on the basis of how many thank yous I get per week. So if I have a wall in my office that is covered with my thank you notes, and I have to be able to change that wall, you know, I have to be able to take things down and put things back up every week, or I know I wasn't productive with my impact. Since we've shifted to email, a lot of my thank yous come in email, and so I've started counting those. If I send out, you know, every week I send out what I call impact gifts, right, emails to my community,
mm-hmm.
and I base my productivity on how many people responded to that email with some kind of thank you or some kind of message regarding how they're going to use what I give them. Penny, for me, impact is measurable,
mm-hmm.
and if you can't
mm-hmm.
measure it, it's not effective enough. And I'm very aware
mm-hmm.
that that's my bias, but it is how I measure my productivity.
Okay, absolutely. You know, we have a lot in common in that context and other areas too, because, you know, someone had asked me when my book came out, how would I know that it was successful? Was it the number of copies sold? And I said, no, it was the same thing. It was the number of people who told me that it impacted their life and shared what it meant to them. That was going to be more how I was going to judge whether it was successful or not. So I hear you 100% as to, and I think you said it, difference makers are different, where other people might be measuring it on the number of copies or whatever. We have different measurements, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. For speaking of the book, I'll share something exciting with you that is a perfect example. So one of the things that's happening in the world of books is that more and more people have started to buy their way onto the bestseller lists. So
right.
they spend a crazy amount of money, $250,000, $500,000, where they will buy out a bunch of books, give them away for free, and then count them towards bestseller status.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is that has made it very, very hard for startup difference makers to get the recognition that they deserve for the impact they're
mm-hmm.
putting out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things is really sticking up for the underdog and finding ways to help them shine in the face of what seem to be insurmountable odds, because they haven't got that kind of capital to be able to
mm-hmm.
do that kind of thing. So what I'm
right.
doing with Focus on Impact is a grassroots movement to prove that it is totally possible to get your way onto the big lists, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, those big visibility places through collaboration instead of money, that you don't
mm-hmm.
have to spend money to be able to get seen. The more that we can do these kinds of projects that show the upcoming new startups that you absolutely can make it by working together, it's,
mm-hmm.
I think that's how we save the planet. I think that ultimately the answer is that we come together and we use our combined productivity to create the solutions that we want for the world. So I'm very excited
mm-hmm.
about this.
That is exciting. Well, I can't wait. When is that due out?
Well, it's on pre-order now. So anybody can pre-order it at this point, and it will actually be available in the fall. So what we're looking
Great.
To do now is to create the momentum of people doing the pre-orders so that we can start to show the startups of the world, look what we can do before the book is even out, and you can do
mm-hmm.
this too, kind of thing. It's
Great.
I know it's not going to come as a surprise to you, but this awesome book that I can't wait to release to the world has become a research study at this point. So that
I'm sure it has.
It's like, oh my God, help me! I can't get away from it. But I am determined to be able to show the difference makers of the world exactly how we did this, so that they
mm-hmm.
can turn around and do it too. So we're keeping very close measure of the pre-orders that happen, certainly in my speaking engagements and also online, so that we can show, okay, which are the pieces that bring you the most momentum and all that good stuff. It's pretty cool.
That's great. So I want to move on to the second item, which is probably builds from your first, is, you know, you talked about, you know, the most powerful multi-million-dollar secret, right? Everybody's sitting on the edge of their chair, and you're saying that it's, you know, there's a lot of things that are non-conventional about that. Can you share some wisdom around that?
Yeah, happy to do that. It's my favorite thing to do this because, especially at a live event, when I get to see the looks on people's faces. But here's the bottom line. If you want to make millions of dollars, the number one secret that makes it work is to stop thinking about money.
Mm.
Completely stop thinking about money. And the way I like to talk about it is you've really got to just reset your mindset. This doesn't mean change how you think. It means go back to how you used to think before you got seminarized. In other words, before people started to tell you that you can be rich and you should be rich and you deserve to be rich.
And right,
and
it's all about
so
the money.
Focused on money. You've got to reset back to the time when you first sparked that, wow, you know what, I think I'd like to make a difference someday. So the idea that is the multi-million-dollar secret that I've used to build all my own businesses and also to help all of these, you know, corporate and healthcare and nonprofit organizations to do so well is seriously focus on impact. Now, this is not a woo-woo thing. This is a proven business strategy where every single aspect of your business, from designing your products and services to the marketing you do, to the delivery of your products and services, to the people you choose to collaborate with. Every single step, there's actually 10 steps in the Focus on Impact model,
mm-hmm.
and each step says, this is how you insert your impact and define it and measure it and discover your unique gifts so that you can bring them to the world in a way that makes the difference you want to make. It's extraordinary.
I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you for a second for a question because, you know, there might be some people online who they agree with you. They'd love to focus on impact, but financially they are struggling. And, you know, because I've had people, you know, and I'm sure you have too, and so I'd like you to just answer or address this question is, you know, how do you stop thinking about money when you are struggling to pay the bills? And you have this great desire to make an impact on the world, but you can't pay your bills.
Absolutely. So I'll answer with a quick story, if that's okay.
Okay.
When I was in my 20s, I had an extraordinary amount of success very, very quickly because I had studied all of these social sciences and learning what really moves people to action and had used them to grow my businesses. So I was making a lot of money, and I became enthralled and enamored with the amount of money I was making. It was really amazing. I mean, I could walk into an organization and have a conversation and walk out with a $250,000 contract. It was amazing. And I became so interested in this that I wanted to figure out what else I could do to make more money. And I became completely focused on money to the point that I started to behave differently in my meetings. Tom Hopkins, a dear friend, used to say, you can see the dollar signs in people's eyes when they're focused on money. And he was right. So what happened was I was so focused on seeing if I could make more money that I lost track of who I was. And the end result was I started spending all this money to make all this money, and I stopped looking at my business. I stopped looking at what's going on, and I made one of the silliest, stupidest little mistakes ever and just didn't bother to think about the fact that if someone tells you they're going to hire you for training, they don't have to stick to it unless you have a contract with them. So all of these people had said that they were going to hire me for training for the next year, and I started borrowing money like crazy to promote my business further because I knew I had all these contracts coming, and then we went to war. And when we went to war, the first thing that the first Gulf War and the first thing that happened was all these companies started calling me and saying, you know what, we need to postpone our training now because we don't know what's going to happen with the economy. And all of this debt, and I had no way to pay it back. I had to fire employees. It was the most horrible thing I've ever had to do in my life.
Right, very humbling.
Call these people, you know, and say, I'm sorry, you know, I can't pay you what I said I would. It was horrible. And when I declared bankruptcy and the sheriff was banging on my door and kicking me out, and it was, I mean, talk about a crazy 24 hours. But I knew what had happened. I knew that I had changed in response to that money, and I was determined to fix it. So I got a job selling makeup at JCPenney. And they put me behind the counter just so I could pay my bills. And I was making like $4 an hour. I mean, it was crazy. And then I would get commission on whatever I sold. And I decided I didn't want the commissions. So I went into this tiny little room, and I was living on noodles and cottage cheese, but I was determined to make an impact at JCPenney and not be focused on the money. I gave all my commissions to the people who worked with me on the floor, and I accepted none of them. And so what happened was I spent every day at the counter giving motivational speeches to anyone who would listen, just so that I could stay focused on impact. And within a couple of weeks, we had throngs of people waiting to hear what I was talking about. And while I would talk to them, they were like four people deep. The floor was mobbed with these people coming in, bringing their kids to hear me speak. And then, of course, while they were there, they would see stuff, they would buy stuff, and I would just hand over the commissions. And in 2 weeks, I took a brand new brand that Revlon had just introduced to the market, And we were the number one in the nation in that store, and all I was doing was serving. And it taught me my lesson that the best route, fastest route to the money is when you take your mind off of the money. There are ways to get your message out to the world, to get your products and services out to the world that you can do in terms of capitalizing your business, in terms of borrowing money. But at the end of the day, in my experience, I never, ever, except for my very first business where I borrowed $50,000 from the bank, I've never borrowed money to do my business, and there have been times when I had no money. But when I went out and I did free speaking engagements, and today I put free videos, I do free webinars, it's always the same, and now I have plenty of money, but back then I didn't, and I've never changed how I run my business. I serve people because I want to make an impact. And when I'm focused on impact, people come up to me. They come up to me at speaking engagements. They literally hand me their credit cards, and they say, I don't know what you do, but whatever it is, I want it.
Well, that's a good place to be. And so that's a really good, you know, story and approach for people to understand that, and I'm going to put it in my own words here, is that whatever dip you go down in, as long as you focus on the impact, it's going to be temporary.
Yeah.
Is that you will find your way. And so if, just for the listeners, if there are people who are in really difficult places, you know, this too shall pass, as long as you keep the focus on what it is you love and the impact that you're looking to make.
Absolutely.
That's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
So do you have any research on that in terms of people who you know, who held their course?
Absolutely. So it's really hard to do that. You need to understand it's really hard to do that when you're living on noodles and cottage cheese and and your family is depending on you and it's scary. It's really hard to stay focused on the impact. But when you stay the course, what we find is that you build momentum faster. And in today's market, where you've got access to so much free technology that lets you get your message out to the world, and when you do that in an effective manner, that really makes your impact. And we really need to take a second to define impact, so please help me get back to that.
Okay.
But when you do that, what happens is people come to you and say, what have you got for me? Can I buy something from you? And when people are asking you to help them, it's something that comes naturally to you, and so you develop your products and services and you put them in a place that's available, and all of this is free to you now. You don't have to have money to make money. Now, it does make a whole lot of money a whole lot faster if you can capitalize yourself, if you can get the money. But at the end of the day, what I need you to understand is you can still build a viable business with no money.
Absolutely. Then I just, before we come to the definition of impact, comes back to, you know, what I talk about in my platform, which is energy management, and that, you know, energy is everything. When you bring that energy, it's attracting other people.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's all about the energy that you bring and how you manage it. And so, you know, I'm not going to go into that today, but I know that if anybody is interested in hearing more about those things, you can definitely contact me or address one of my websites or my book. So let's talk about impact. So you said defining the impact, so that we need to get clear on the definition. So let's do that. Let's get clear on what's the definition of impact.
Absolutely. Thank you. So defining your impact is the most important thing you can do. It is the number one piece, and you asked earlier, what's the biggest mistake? The biggest mistake is people don't define their impact with clarity, and so that's why they can't make it happen.
Right.
The question to ask yourself is, after someone has experienced you, whether that's your book or your product or your service or a simple conversation over a cup of coffee, after someone has experienced you, what will they now do differently? Your impact is not the moment when you're spreading sparkle berries over people's lives and helping them feel good. That only lasts as long as it takes to get them to the parking lot.
Right.
Impact has to be measurable. And the only way to measure it is for you to decide what people will do differently after they have experienced you, and then reverse engineer it. So in other words, if you decided that what you want people to do is have more balance by addressing the three areas of productivity, then what would they be doing differently after they experience the three areas of productivity that is measurable? And that measurable difference is your ultimate impact, because when they start to do something differently, that creates a ripple effect on every life they touch, and your impact grows exponentially as a result.
Absolutely. You know, and that's a good thing that you can do to ask. I mean, people who have been making an impact in their business for a while, go back and ask people that. That's a great question to do some research, to go back and ask and say, what have you done differently since you've encountered me? So you can look for some patterns, right?
Exactly, exactly. And where people mess up is they say, well, I just want to help people be happier, or I just want to help people have more fulfilling lives, or I just want to help people be healthier. And that's awesome. Now you just need to clarify it. So if they were healthier, what would they be doing differently? Well, they would, you know, they would be fit. Cool. If they were fit, what would they be doing differently? So you talk about what you want people to be, or what you want them to feel, or what you want them to have, and that's beautiful, mm-hmm. and that's great marketing because it talks about benefits. But at the end of the day, if you don't really understand what are the actions you want people to be taking that they've never taken before, and what are the actions you'd like them to stop taking that they've always taken before, you've got to get really, really clear on that, and then you can reverse engineer it and say, okay, fine, if that's what I want people to do, then what do I need to do to make sure they'll do that? And that's how you define your entire business.
Right, and I think, you know, it goes back to your say the action movement, right, is that it's about creating that and understanding what actions they need to take.
Exactly.
And then they get results. It goes back to that very first thing we were talking about implementation. If they're not implementing, they're not taking action.
Exactly. Exactly right. And the goal
I got it.
Is to do it. Got it. You, by Jove, she's got it. And so at the end
by
of the
Jove.
Day, that's how we measure everything for a successful business that's based on impact.
Right.
Are people out there buying your stuff? Great. Wonderful. You can pay your bills. Are they using what they bought?
Mm-hmm.
And are they getting results? And are they telling all their friends about it? And are they coming back for more?
That's the big question.
Exactly.
And you know what? You make it seem so simple. And I know, you know, that people, this is, it's a great framework to, I mean, you gave, this has been like so much really actionable content that you've been given here. And so for those of you who are listening or listening for the first time, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to this another time just to really let it sink in, because there's a lot of very important critical concepts and tasks for people to go away with to be able to really, you know, answer those questions and do some of this research so that they can get very clear on what their impact really is.
So
I know I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and I'm going to ask all my previous clients, you know, what do they now do differently after experiencing me? Because I think that's a great idea.
Absolutely huge. And to back it up and say, well, what would they like to be doing differently in their lives? To start that way.
If they're not. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So before you even get a chance to help people, part of the research is, you know, what would you like to be doing differently?
Right.
It's one of the most important questions.
Absolutely, and people are furiously writing that down. We have about 10 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that I want to make sure that we covered that last point, that we have the elements that you wanted to have in that, which was, you said, the proven path to reach millions, to make millions, and to love. And I know a lot of what we talked about goes into that, but is there anything that we didn't cover around that you wanted to cover?
So I wanted to give everyone listening a really important checklist that you can use to either start an impact-driven business or to make sure that your current business is making a big an impact as you want to make. Because at the end of the day, there's a real important piece to this puzzle that has to get understood, which is that if you're not waking up every single morning feeling like you're making as big an impact as you could be making, then there's always something new that you could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the what I call the focus on impact map, which is the 10 steps that you need to make sure that you're reaching millions, making millions, and loving your life while you go, as opposed to getting so stressed
after.
Out and overwhelmed, which, you know, what a concept.
Right.
So, you know, and I just taught this on a webinar last night. I'm doing another, an encore of it on Saturday night. And when I taught them the steps that I'm going to share real quick, the feedback was extraordinary, and it's because most people don't do all of this, and we really don't have time to go through it in 10 minutes, but which is now 9. But what I will do is give you the checklist. So
okay.
I'm going to run it really, really fast. So if you think of growing a business as a journey, and you're going to take this journey, and there are cities that you're going to visit along the way. And if you go out of order, if you try and visit one city before you've been to the one that came before it, you're going to lose your path. You're not going to have everything you need. So the most important thing is that building an impact-driven business requires you to know that there is a sequence and you need to follow the sequence in order, or else you will miss something. And that something will keep you. That's the key here. So the first city is what I call the city of define, and this is where you define your impact formula. What do you want to make happen? What is the impact you want to have in the world? What are the resources you're going to need in order to make it happen? What are the resources you already have that you don't even realize that you can use? And what are the permission factors that will keep you from letting yourself do what it takes to make it happen? And all of that happens in the first step. The second city is the city of discover. Each and every one of us is born with a very unique impact that we have in our DNA that we can bring to the world. And there is a science to finding it, but at the end of the day, the most important thing you can do is ask other people who really know you, what do I do that amazes you? And little by little, you'll begin to figure out what is your unique gift. Don't assume you know it because you cannot see it yourself. The third city is to design your ideal lifestyle. And obviously, Penny, you do a lot with that, with people, with helping them find their productivity and find a way without overwhelm and enjoying and living their lives. So the secret in terms of a business is to realize that as difference makers, we're going 24 hours a day, and to try and shut that down and assume that we don't think about our impact only causes more stress. So design the lifestyle that you want and then revolve the products and services in business around what you want, not the other way around. The next city is the city of determine, and this is the one that blows people away, to determine who is your perfect market. And bottom line, if you are a difference maker, you've got to stop listening to the people who tell you to narrow your niche because you're cheating people out of getting your impact. So I tell all my clients, widen the niche, find the people who you want to serve and go serve them. The next city is the city of develop. Once you've been through the first four cities, you now have what I call your foundation of uniqueness, and now you're ready to take everything you learned from the first four cities and infuse that into one-of-a-kind products and services, and that happens in the city of develop. The next city is the city of differentiate. So now that you've got these one-of-a-kind things, what are you going to do with them? So I tell people, don't actually create them until you've done the research. Sell it first, then create it, because the research will tell you what they want. But in the city of differentiate, what you do is you send out a lot of impact to the world for free with what I call impact-driven content marketing, which is different than just content. Content is no longer king. Impact is king.
Right.
Impact is the new currency, guys. You've got to show practical results. At the end of the city of differentiate, you're ready for the city of deliver, where you deliver your impact through your products and services, and you get people to find you and follow you and choose you and use you and refer to you and come back for more. At the end of the day, it's all about moving people to action, and that happens in the city of Deliver. The next city is, now that you've built your impact-driven business, you're ready to drive powerful collaborations. And we've certainly talked a lot about that on this show.
Mm-hmm.
We both agree with that. But that has a place. It happens in the city of Drive. You can't collaborate until you know what your impact is.
Right.
The next city is the city of Decide. When you start collaborating and people start hearing about your impact, you're going to be bombarded by people who have advice for you. In the city of Decide, you've got to decide what's best for you. And the one thing I would invite you to really remember is nobody knows what's best for you. You know what's best for you. The secret is to decide what's best for your impact, and that happens by following this map that I'm telling you about. So when somebody gives you advice, you plug it into the map. At this event I'm doing in July, Penny, I'll take a quick second to tell you this is so much fun.
Absolutely.
I'm doing something that's never been done to my knowledge. Everyone who's coming to this event is bringing with them, literally, every product or book or workbook that they've ever purchased to help them in their business. I have people who are telling me they're literally going to rent U-Hauls. It's hysterical. We're going to do a big capitalization workshop where in the program where we're going to sit down, we're going to look at everything you've bought and say, fine, where does it fit in your impact map? How can you use it? What, you didn't waste any money, but how do you use it? And the things that it turns out you don't use anymore, we're doing an auction for charity so that people in the room who do need it will buy it from you for less than what you paid. So it's really going to
right.
be kind of fun.
That's a great idea.
So once you've got all of that figured out, the final city is the city of Dare, where you hit the plateau that all entrepreneurs hit, which is that you have taken this as far as you can go and you don't know what to do anymore and you're stuck. And in the city of Dare, you dare to go bigger. You dare to take it further. And in order to do that, you've got to look very closely at the speed limits and what are holding you back so that you can mm-hmm. shatter those speed limits. And in order to do that, you have to go back to the city of Define. And the end of the story is that the Focus on Impact map is a circle. It's not linear. You always come back to the city of Define so that you can mm-hmm. really get clear on your impact again, because once you mm-hmm. grow it, it changes. And then you walk through all 10 cities again. So when you follow the map and you follow the sequence and you use it as your checklist, if you're not growing your business the way you want to be growing your business, you're probably needing to go back and visit some of these cities and spend some time there. At the end
right.
of the day, it's just focusing on impact in every area of your business. So I hope that helps.
Well, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Wow, that's incredible. And I know people are, as I said, they're going to have to listen to this again to pick it all up and follow up on it. You know, where can they find out more information about you when they want to dig deeper into any of this or find out about that July event or anything?
Absolutely. So thanks for asking. So the most important thing you can do is the action movement. So if you go to theactionmovement.com, there is free training there for you to help you really define and refine your impact. There's nothing being sold there at all. It just gets you into my world, and then you also get impact gifts in mail on a weekly basis, which lets you hear about everything I'm doing. So that's probably the simplest route to go. The July event is called the Difference Maker Summit, and you can learn about that at DifferenceMakerSummit.com.
Great. Thank you so much for being here, Wendy. I am so grateful, and I know that everybody is taking away a huge amount of knowledge away from this that they're going to take action and apply.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. I was really an honor to serve your people and to be with you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. Well, hopefully we'll see each other in June at CEO Space. So for those of
Absolutely.
You who don't know about that organization, please do check into it. We're just down at the last couple of minutes, so I just want to thank you all for being here, and I just want to tell you to join us next week as we continue to provide you with amazing experts in each of the 10 core drivers that's going to automatically help you to increase your productivity. So until next week, I just want to remind you to take charge of your time and energy. Stop managing your time and start managing your energy. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
A 10 to 50% productivity increase on a daily basis. Does that sound incredible?
It feels incredible. Penny Zenker's clients around the world are using the Take Charge techniques to achieve more of their goals. Start by going to TakeChargeRadio.com. You'll find access to a self-assessment and a 30-day coaching journal to start your process. Go there today, and who knows how much more you'll be accomplishing tomorrow. Visit TakeChargeRadio.com.